You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well. This movie review also comes for subscribers at Time Lord level or above, an uncut, unedited, longer video version of the review. Become a subscriber and check it out.
Do you love sci-fi, horror, and fantasy films? Then grab a badge for Otherworlds Film Festival, the country's premier sci-fi film festival. There'll be Q&As, panels, parties, and mixers. Rub elbows with up-and-coming and established filmmakers, as well as like-minded filmgoers. Come celebrate our 7th year, December 3rd through 6th, at the Galaxy Highland in Austin, Texas. Badges are now for sale at OtherworldsFilmFest.com. That's OtherworldsFilmFest.com.
So did I miss something at the beginning of this film, like in an X-Files episode where they have a little scrawl at the bottom of the screen that shows exactly when this is taking place? Because I'm watching this movie, The Curse of Audrey Earnshaw, and up until like the third act, I'm like, so this is like what, like maybe 19th century, like mid to late 19th century or something like that.
Just,
like
just West farmhold Virginia.
Somewhere. Yeah. Yeah. Or it's just any time West Virginia, or it's, you know, it's where Matt is from, you know, at any given time. So still like that, isn't it?
Yeah. Parts of it are even behind that.
So if I have it straight, it was settled in the 1870s.
Yeah.
And then we allude to an eclipse.
Yeah.
In 1956. And the movie takes place 17 years after that, in 1973.
Yeah. Which is very unclear. And I missed any mention of a date earlier, and the whole film is set in this, well, that easily could be 1876. It looks like 1876. Yeah. Yeah. But there's a point in the third act where there's a plane flying overhead loudly, and I was like, wait up, what just happened? Did we just get a huge plot twist? But no, apparently its date is, well, let's say, its date is, as far as I can tell, completely irrelevant to the events of the film. So make it 1973 when every other thing in the film is like, it's like 1870.
As far as I could tell, the only reason for it was so that they could have spoiler alert, at one point they take someone to a hospital in a vehicle.
Yeah, at the very, very, very end. And even then,
it sort of solves a problem of how does this person not die? But I mean, yeah, it was a weird convolution, which is a theme throughout.
Like you said, Matt, it's one thing to have a, like Chris is saying, something to read at the beginning. The film was prefaced. And it was a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Curse of Audrey Earnshaw, episode one, The Witch Menace. The Vavitch Menace, I should say. I'm Chris. That was Bob just then. You heard Matt as well there.
Hello.
Adrian is here as well, gravely hanging on to this conversation by his fingernails.
I'll jump in when I can.
So The Curse of Audrey Earnshaw is a new horror film. It's directed by relative newcomer, it's his second feature, Thomas Robert Lee, and with a decent enough cast of people that are like, if you watch a lot of movies on this level of sort of like indie genre films, you'll recognize a lot of people in it, like Catherine Walker plays Agatha Earnshaw, the mother of the titular character. Audrey Earnshaw, played by a young ingenue, I could say, because it's her second thing she's ever done. Jessica Reynolds comes out very looking very strong out of this. But the one person I kept going to was Hannah Emily Anderson, who plays Bridget Dwyer. Is another character in this. It starts off smaller and becomes much more important as the story goes along. You might know her from any number of things. She is kind of becoming a scream queen in her own right, having starred in Jigsaw. And she was in the Purge television series playing one of the lead characters in that. And I'm blanking on the name of the movie, but there's a terrific film she's in where she's one half of a lesbian couple that turns into a sort of cat and mouse death hunt through the woods. That was absolutely terrific. You know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm just blanking on the name of it, but she's great. I was like, oh, good. I like her a lot. But, you know, there's a lot of strong acting here. My problem is I didn't think there was a lot of strong writing here, but let's talk about what the plot actually is here. So like we said, an extent, there's this is a town in any time. At first, I was like, are they Amish? They might as well be. They're not using technology that much, generally speaking, that much is clear. It's a town where everybody, I mean, the town is dying. They're like, we haven't had good crops in years. People are literally starving, which is another thing. If it's like 1973, there's got to be a convenience store around there somewhere,
well,
right?
I get that it's like a religious thing, but like none of them just leave like on pain of their kids starving. They don't just...
Yeah,
I think exactly. Canonically it's Ireland.
They said it's that everybody is a Church of Ireland member at one point. So maybe it's a imported group of people with a crazy religion, and it doesn't even get so much into the degrees to how the religion in and of itself functions, other than we get it's pretty fundamentalist.
It just appears to be your basic severe Protestantism.
It's hell on earth is what you mean, basically. At least for me, I would be like, no, I need my cell phone, thank you very much. But as I said, everybody except for one person is dealing with this, and that's high up on a hill, kind of separated from the rest of the town, is Agatha, who's played by, actually, the wonderful little indie horror film A Dark Song, Catherine Walker from that. So she's been...
Which this shared crew with, and that raised my expectations.
Indeed. So she seems to be doing fine.
There was hope.
She's getting all her vegetables are growing in, and her crop, her animals are fine, and everybody's kind of starting to cast an eye at her, like... What's going on with the one person who seems to be doing okay and wants nothing to do with the rest of us and won't share with anyone no matter what happens? And everybody, I mean, we start getting into familiar territory. People like, you know, I think she's a witch. Maybe she's a witch, or, you know, I don't think they ever use the word, but, you know, witch-ish, witch adjacent, what have you. And it turns out she's got a daughter, Audrey, who she hides from everyone in the town for reasons... And she's like, no, they can't know that you exist. They can't exist. And she's really beautiful. At one point, they're like, oh, anyone who sees her falls under her spell, which is that accurate? I don't know if it actually is. But
inferentially, right, for the first half of the movie, at least, we're led to believe that she keeps her secret because her father was not of the denomination, that her father's an outsider.
They say he wasn't from there, and they faintly vague book about her, so to speak, about her father's origins, but really barely at all.
I watch a lot of horror, so as soon as they said the dad's not from here, I'm like, oh, he's the devil.
I mean, that's, I think, where this is coming from. He's a devil or a devil-ish type non-human person thing.
That is to say that either one of those answers is kind of, you could argue for, because it's not very pushed into the is or isn't.
Well, and that brings me to like a big structural criticism I have of this. Is they can't decide if they're doing What a Twist or not.
Mm-hmm.
So like they're very, it would have been a stronger film if the Earnshaw clan, mother and daughter, started with the freaky deaky earlier, or if they held more ambiguity longer like the witch.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, that there is a scene early on in this film where it's clear not only is this mom not the only person around here who is involved in whatever this supernatural aspect is. There's a thing where they're kind of all gathered around the daughter and chanting, and everybody's eyes are white, and you're like, okay, so some sort of thing is happening. But I never was clear, like, what is the... Where did those other people come from, and where did they go?
Well, their group is small enough that her little sub-conspiracy, the coven or whatever they are, it's like half the people in the church, because they're only, it seems like there's only like 20 or 30 of them, and there's like 8 women at her ritual. So it's like, why are they even, and if they have working magic and there's 8 of them and their husbands, if applicable, why are they even still bothering letting the preacher be in charge?
Yeah, and why is the whole end game here just to make one farm successful? I'm unclear. What is the end game? Because as it plays along, you're never really clear on what the point of all this is, who Audrey's dad is, like I said, never specifically addressed, but we can presume some kind of devil type thing, something with supernatural powers. They indicate that it's her presence that starts driving the town mad. And sure enough, everybody in the town, all these minor characters, start having their own little freakouts and things get really bloody. There's a particularly gruesome sequence where someone gives themselves an abortion with a straight razor, which, you know, and stuff like that. And I never felt like any of that really was tied in to the supernatural aspect of what was happening in a way on screen that let us feel like there was a connection. It was more like these people are just going crazy because they're starving and aren't doing anything about it. And they're also probably not terribly well educated.
Which another thing actually that got me about this is like parts of it feel like it was being cut for television. And then parts of it are really gruesome. Like there's an implication at one point that a baby has been born with this, because they're having deformed farm animals, you know, per the witch trope, and then there is a baby that is born that they do not show, but the parents act horrified. And
yeah, that was a weird thing to do.
It feels like they thought it would be a payoff, like they thought it would be a shock moment, but then they don't clarify, like is it just not healthy, or does it have two heads or horns or hooves or what are we?
The film is filled with stuff like that, and I think that the intention was to make the ambiguity make it creepier, but all it did was make it irritating for me.
I hear everything you guys are saying about the movie, and I want to start out with the positives that I have for this, because during the credits there's a song that plays. It's a pretty good song. It sounds like spooky Fleet Foxes. I dug that, and I think I disliked every single other thing about this movie aside the song that played at the end.
Wait, hold on, I just have to call out Matt, who said before we even started he's damning this movie with faint technical praise.
I feel bad for the movie because it's definitely on a budget, and I don't think that the crew and the director saw films like The Witch and Hereditary and thought, I want to make something similar. I don't want to accuse them of that because I don't believe that's true. However, because I've seen those other films take material of Satanism and witchcraft and do it so well and so kind of above the bar and in a way I haven't seen before, watching this felt like watching a PBS special about witches that, hey, you know what? It's about to be October. That might be fun in the background. It might be nice and fall-like, but this isn't scary enough to be a horror movie. This certainly isn't interesting enough to be a good movie. And it's not that bad so that I could call it a bad movie.
I mean, it's strengthened by the fact that the actors are all really good in this.
Yeah.
I thought across the board, all the actors are terrific in this. There's the one guy, and I forget his name, who's got a beard. He's one of the like Amish looking guys in the town who's in it a lot. He's great. Man, that guy knocks it out of the park. Hannah Beth Anderson, as always, is terrific.
The first guy that gets obsessed with her?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That guy.
I like everybody in this a lot. I thought the performances were just stellar, but the material's just not there, and it's not even that the script in and of itself is bad. It's that the decisions and how to edit it together are really poor and feel like, you know what, let's just cut that. There's a lot of points that feel they're like, oh, let's just cut that part out of the script. It'll be scarier this way. There's like 8 or 9 times in this that feel like that. And you're like, no, that's the wrong call.
In terms of praise, I will say, I don't look up what the budgets for things are because I don't like to curb the test, you know?
Sure.
But production design here is, I mean, more than adequate. Like, it's a pretty creepy set piece. The isolated village and the, you know, the particularly like the creepy house that a bunch of it happens in. But
the church was cool.
Yeah. And I will say this, though. This is something I said about The Witch, and I have to point this out here. Had it not had the weird anachronistic moment, I would have said that it's doing what The Witch did, which is capitalize on the conditions of the time that were just bad for everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone that has to live in a log hut, it sucks. So I have that problem with a lot of things that mine historicity for horror, like just reality as grit.
We have to have the new Matt's annotated dictionary. Yeah. I'm starting to realize.
But I thought the production was really good, but I also felt like a too many cooks problem here. Like there were different drafts of this. There were different, you know, incompatible shoots. There's something going on here where this didn't make it out of the outlining stage. It just didn't hang together well. I had a couple times, like I had to back it up 2 or 3 times because, like, at one point I literally thought I had fallen asleep and missed 10 minutes of it. And it turns out I did not.
Didn't miss much, probably.
Just a weird, like, about two-thirds of the way through it, there's just kind of a weird jerk on the rudder.
Yeah, no, there's that moment where you feel like you do when you're watching a film in the theater, and it takes a couple minutes, but you realize that someone has accidentally switched the reels so that they're, like, out of order. There's a moment like that where you're like, I feel like we're missing a, like there was a big jump or something. Did they screw up? And no, this is the digital copy. There's no reels to switch. But it does feel that way. This whole thing has the feel of a rough draft.
Switch the reels. What do you like? Try to fish in a theater now?
Spoken like a true Wyoming boy. I'm fly fishing over here.
With my Valley Girl voice that is actually outdated because kids don't talk that way anymore.
What, they don't?
I don't.
God damn it.
Well, I don't know.
Come up with some new impressions.
I don't hang out with any. But.
When I'm put up against a corner, I just go into this Schwarzenegger. All right, let's go to final thoughts. Bob, you have not said a lot during this review. That's because we all have big mouths. So let's hear from you. You go first. What do you think?
I'll do mine with a page out of Adrian's spell book and start with my positives. I like the Steadicam work. There's two or three cool diopter shots where it's two people in frame and focus. That was neat. As far as ominous openings and these kind of films, that the first town person that encounters Agatha soft threatens her and then says, God bless you at the end. I thought that was great. The locations were cool. The dinner scene is one of the darker horror movie dinner scenes. The first one in the last couple years, the violence that happens in the church, I thought was a pretty shocking moment. But like you guys have kind of mentioned, about halfway to two thirds, the plot just slips away. In the last at least 40 minutes, every scene almost introduces a new piece of plot, and it's not linear. I don't even know if it's all connected, but every single thing that happens in the later half of the movie just keeps adding snowball to a thing I think we all think maybe didn't decide if it was trying to be ambiguous or not was the problem. You know, we could have made this and just not said anything, or we could just over explain it and try and put in, I don't even know if some of this stuff is red herring stuff. It was just a lot going on. I think that at 90 minutes, there's a much simpler, much more effective cut of this movie that could have been made, even if it went to 80 minutes, but there's just so much. I loved Catherine Walker as the mom. Dark Song is a big thing, but that it just doesn't happen in the latter half for me. There was a lot of cool stuff. I like the way it looked. I'm gonna go just like some of you guys have said. Adrian, you said it's. I don't think it's a bad movie. Like when we talk about stuff that, oh, you know what? Why are we doing something that like this? This isn't one of those. It just seems so disconnected and disjointed. So I'll go 6 out of 10 airplanes in the background.
Adrian.
Man, this is one of those books that you pick up because it has a spooky cover, but you never fucking read it because you know it's going to be pretty boring. I'm sorry. Movies like this, I've gotten to a point where I'm starting to feel fatigue, and I definitely fucking feel it if it's a movie that doesn't really do anything. I thought this wasn't scary. I thought this was mundane. And in all the technical aspects, I don't even think it's a bad movie, but I definitely can't recommend it. I would never watch it again. I think the only way that it's acceptable to watch this is if you mistakenly watch it because you thought you were putting on The Exorcism of Emily Rose or The Autopsy of Jane Doe or
much
any other titles that end with a woman's name. But this ain't the one. I've said that before. I'll say it again. I give this one spell of existentialism that I'm getting from watching mundane movies out of 5. God, I would prefer a bad movie that's hilarious any day over one that's just kind of boring.
I always say I will take any day a bad movie that's highly entertaining over a really competent movie that's incredibly dull and never gets around to having a point.
Man, I fucking feel that.
Matt?
I think I'm echoing everybody here. I do have to reiterate, like, a lot of the individual scares, the weird witchy curses that she puts on the townspeople, you know, those were individually effective things, but in aggregate, and I always kind of talk about, I call it the Ishtar factor. It's when something is worse than it is because it could have been better. When there was, they had the resources, they had the tools, they did not assemble
the promise.
Project. So I on that basis, I have to give it 4 mutated sheep heads on 2 mutated sheep bodies.
This whole thing is just, it's just so neutered. It's just so unfinished. Everything about this feels like it was rushed into production before it was ready. There's a lot of, from the get-go, why would you do it that way? Questions that I have about this that I'm like, what in the world made you think that was a good idea? For instance, like we said, no reason to have this be in 1973. No good reason at all. In fact, it makes it less creepy, it being in 1973. Like the moment that airplane flew overhead that Bob keeps bringing up, that because it is like, you're like, wait, what? And it totally pulls you out of the whole movie.
I thought it was a continuity error.
Right. At first, so did I.
Well, maybe that's why they prelude in the beginning of the film. Because they're like, right. Did y'all see that airplane in the edit last night?
Yeah, we can't afford to reshoot.
I would give this an extra point if that were the case. I would think that's kind of ballsy if they just fucked up and created a whole backstory to it.
I'm saying, dude, go back, get the money, reshoot the last act of this film after that, and make it where whatever happened made the whole town travel through time, and then make it a fish out of water witchcraft story. Then you've got a movie that still won't make any sense, but at least it might be fun. Because this is no fun at all. It really isn't. And it is indeed at points horrifying, but not in a sense of the way the plot is going, just in the sense of some of the imagery you choose to show. Like that you're like, oh, that's horrific. I don't mind looking at stuff that's really horrific if you're A, making it like, oh, it's fun, big splatter gore, it's there to be goofy, or B, it fits inside the storyline in a way where you care about these characters and you're like, oh man, and it makes sense that it's happening. A lot of it just seems so random. You're like, okay, I was confused by the decision-making process on this film. It ends up not being spooky at all. It just ends up feeling overlong and dull as fuck. I'm going to give this, and this is mainly any stars I'm giving this are for the actors, who I think are all terrific, and the cinematographer, who I think generally does a good job at setting up the shots and creating some good setting placement shots. And God, once again, damning with faint technical praise, but doing the best I can here, Curse of Audrey Earnshaw. I'm doing the best I can. All I can give it is 3 out of 10 times I expect them to say that the dad was Black Phillip.
Praise Black Phillip.
I'll praise Black Phillip. Yes. Start
the bargaining at butter. Such a flex.